Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
Next up, Mike Scott. Fisherman's Blues, of course, and Mike Scott with me this morning. Good morning, my friend, and welcome. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning, Marty. Thanks for having me back in.
It's lovely to have you back in. I have to check one thing, by the way. I was going through the various bits and bobs. Are you in America on Wednesday?
Am I in America on Wednesday?
This Wednesday.
Definitely not.
Definitely not. Because when you look at your list of dates, it comes up that the Waterboys are playing in America on Wednesday. Isn't that mad?
Definitely not.
So there's somebody back in the maggot.
I'm in Dublin on Wednesday for sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are you going to the Netherlands?
Not on Wednesday.
There you go.
Soon.
No,
is in
that
2 months?
That's happening in. That's happening very soon, isn't
it? I'm going to America in September.
In September.
A tour in September and October.
Isn't that fantastic? Now, will you, he asked leading questions, will you have to leave your phone at home or will you be all right with the new way that things
Who
are?
Who knows? I think we've applied for the visas. If they've any problem with things that I've said about the clown in charge over there, they'll find out at the point of visa application.
Yeah, well, of course, you'll be leaving. Will you be leaving from here?
Yeah.
Ah, but you see,
we do customs.
And then the least they can do on that basis is just send you back home.
That's right, you don't go anywhere else.
So at least that.
That's right.
But you have no trepidation about that because, again, you're blessed. You have this fan base right across the world, which is a wonderful thing when you think about it after all these years and how successful the Waterboys have been. Yeah. Well, you, because you are the Waterboys.
Well, I'm the constant in the Waterboys.
You are the constant. Yeah.
There's four or five other very active Waterboys at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Revolving around you, as ever.
Yeah.
One of the things that I found, I just love the fact that you played on my birthday, I couldn't go. You then went up to Belfast, I couldn't make it because I was here. But you were down in Cork on the 10th of July.
That is correct.
In the wonderful Marquee. Now, that's all very fine, and that's fine, and we know the music will be great. But when you bring out the album, the Dennis Hopper album, how are you going to put that on stage? Because it's so different. It's so cinematic, to be honest.
Well, it's almost a rock opera.
Yes.
Marty. And I remember the first famous rock opera was Tommy by The Who.
That's right.
And when they released Tommy, and I know because I've got some old bootleg recordings of the tour they did.
Yeah.
What they did was they would come out and they would play half an hour of their famous songs of the time, like Substitute, Can't Explain,
sure.
I'm a Boy. Then they would play 45 minutes of the new Tommy album. Not the whole thing, but enough to give you the story.
Yeah.
And then they would play My Generation, Magic Bus, a few other hits to round it off.
Sure.
I thought that's a really good show structure. So that's what we've been doing. We go out and we play a Glastonbury song, How Long Will I Love You, a bunch of other well-known Waterboys tracks, rockers mostly. And then we play 40, 45 minutes of the Dennis Hopper album in order to tell a story, ending with his shuffling off the mortal coil.
Indeed.
And then we do Don't Bind the Drummer and a bunch of other famous Waterboy songs. It works great.
And Dennis Hopper, we should have known, because when you brought out Good Luck Seeker last time, and we should have known that track number four was Dennis Hopper. We should have known there was something going to come.
Well,
it's like a hint.
Who knows about things like that?
Why Dennis Hopper? What is it about Dennis Hopper that you find
fascinating? Life, Marty.
Yeah.
He was a great actor and he was also a brilliant photographer. But
that's
what,
right.
What really fascinated me about Dennis was the life he lived in popular culture. Because he was present and participatory at all these hinge moments.
Yeah.
He was with James Dean in Rebel Without a Cause, which was the big bang of youth culture.
Sorry.
He hung out with Elvis in Hollywood when Elvis was making his first movies.
Yeah.
He was there at the birth of pop art. He was friendly with Andy Warhol before anybody knew Warhol. The story was that Dennis bought the first of those Campbell soup can paintings. I hope it's true.
It's a lovely story. Yeah.
And then he was there. He was at Haight-Ashbury when that was happening. He was at the civil rights marches, the LA riots, and then, of course, Easy Rider giving a voice to the whole hippie movement. So just that he went through all that. And then what happened later with his burnout and then coming back and becoming a character actor. Just a fascinating life. And I found his character throughout all that.
Yes.
Very engaging and very easy to write songs about. And it didn't begin as an album. It began as an EP that I wanted to do. And I thought, well, we've got this one Dennis Hopper song, the one you just mentioned. That
yes, from the last album.
Good Luck Seeker. We've got this song. Maybe we could release it as a single and do three or four other Hopper-themed tracks as B-sides.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's such an amazing life. I could just dip in here or there and write about this chapter or that chapter. So I did that. But the songs came so fast that suddenly it was a long EP, then it was a short album, then it was a full album.
Yeah. And there's so many different tracks on it. They're so diverse. Like, the music is so different. Each one is very, very different.
Yes.
Which is where the rock opera thing comes in, because that is really what it is.
And, you know, I didn't set out to make it all different. It wasn't meant to be as
really
dull, different musical styles. It's just the way it came out.
Yeah.
But the different songs or the different story points demanded different things.
It's funny the way just these things develop, and then you obviously looked at it at one stage. You kind of said, "No, this is actually I like this," and because you have to have the confidence then to say, "It's a Waterboys album, yes, but look what we've now done."
Well, that happened very early on. You know, the lack of confidence in the music isn't something that happens to me very often.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
I know, but what I'm saying is that you suddenly say, "This is what I'm going to do," and you let it fly.
Yeah. I, of course, got to convince the manager first. And then the rest of the band.
Is that difficult?
And then the record label. And then the audience. No, it all happened all right.
I think that just might be okay. This is Andy, a guy like you, from... chatting here with Mike Scott, and I'm just saying to him, it's like a film, this brand new album, Dennis Hopper, and yet you were saying to me that there is that cinematic feel to the whole thing.
Yeah, the strings especially in that track, they were written by James Halliwell from the band.
Yeah.
They conjure landscape to my imagination.
Well, you see, you've done that before. I told you last time, and I still stick with it. Postcard from a Celtic Dreamtime is still one of my great favourite songs.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
And that is just this picturesque.
Yes.
You close your eyes and you're there.
Yes.
As you listen to that track, and that's a particular feeling, and it's cinematic in its way.
Yes.
Which I think is very important. Do you know what I found at home? You're not going to believe this. I have to show you this because I had this at home. Do you recognise that?
Yes, I know. Beat up old 12-inch copy of The Hole of the Moon.
It is. Now, I used to, in my youth, as a very small boy broadcaster a long time ago, do discos. And I found this at home. It is scratched and it is sad beyond belief. But isn't it funny how... I can't tell you how many times... You know this is more than anybody because you're the man responsible for it. How many times one would have been asked to play that in a disco over the years. It is still the calling card with everything else, I suspect. Yes. It is still the one. But I'm delighted to be able to show you this morning.
Yeah, handsome, isn't it? With the full moon being the label.
Absolutely. This is probably worth a fortune now at this stage.
I'm not sure about that.
I don't know. I might get you to sign it and then keep it.
Yeah.
I have one other... There's one other 12-inch I have at home. It's signed by Ray Davies, and it's Lola.
Oh,
Lola.
Must have been a reissue, because didn't it have 12 inches when Lola came out?
That's right, but what they did was they mentioned Coca-Cola, because he wasn't allowed to say Coca-Cola on it.
Yes.
And they changed the words. So he wrote on it, is this the Coca-Cola one? Which is quite something. But it's funny, just those moments, isn't it, when you look back and you have that song and you think, by golly, but there's such another wealth of music that's out there. Can I take another track? The one we thought we'd play. Yes, before we even go there, what are you going to do about the Bruce Springsteen and the Steve Earle and all these guys who feature?
You mean in the concert?
Yeah.
But you know, the funny thing is that
10th of July, there you'll be.
Well, we use the Steve Earle track, because it's the opening track of the album.
Yes.
We show it on a film.
Right.
We play our first set.
Yes.
And then we leave the stage for 2 minutes while Steve Earle appears on the screen and sings the song.
Right.
And the crew scurry around the stage, moving props and setting up for the Hopper section of the show.
Sure.
And it works really beautiful. And then when Steve Earle finishes his song, which a train sound effect crosses the stereo.
Yes.
Suddenly we're back and the electric guitars.
And you're ready to go.
We're ready to go, yeah.
And what are you going to do about Bruce Springsteen? How's that going?
Well, now, Bruce...
Yes.
Bruce very, very badly wanted to come on tour with us.
Did he?
He was prepared to do every single show, and I said, Bruce, I don't think you should do that. I think you've got to stick with your own career. You can't neglect your own career. You've got to do your own show. So he's off on tour doing his own thing.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think it was a very kind gesture on your part.
Yeah,
to spare him that.
Yeah. Anyway, what happens is when we play that song called 10 Years Gone, when we get to the section where Bruce appears on the record, he's there on audio.
Yes.
And Dennis at that point is on screen. We have some Dennis stuff on screen during the session.
That sounds great.
It works beautiful.
Oh, that sounds great. Did you do this in on the 7th of June and the 8th?
We did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it worked a treat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'd say people were kind of excited about the fact that how are you going to do this? How are you going to present this?
Yeah.
But then you were never afraid to take risks. You've always been prepared to kind of take. If people think you turn right, you go left. I mean, that's part of the joy of it, isn't it? Part of the pleasure?
Well, I never deliberately set out to leave people wrong-footed. I just do what the music tells me, and sometimes it's not what people expect.
Yeah, it's just where they go. And let's have a listen. This is Steve Earle. This is Kansas, because I really want to play this for everybody in this moment. And now you've set up how it looks, for heaven's sake.
Oh, me, oh, my. You can rely on things you ask about. Your dust and weeds and clouds, Kansas are choking and killing me. Among the big city crowds, Kansas, that's where I'm gonna be. What I gotta find is level, poor boy, gotta be free.
What happens? You're playing this, and then we're chatting. Like
they're
ages.
All very short. Aren't
they're all
so
very short.
There's
thank
an
you for
economy
that.
To the arrangements of this record.
Before, I was just about to talk to you about. We're talking about Henry Moore and Charles. And we were talking about Bruce Springsteen, and I found a badge 40 years ago in Slane. It's some history, isn't it, when you think about the venue?
Yeah.
You never? Did you play? Did
no,
you play?
I never even went to any of the concerts.
Did you not?
No.
Good Lord.
No. The ones that I might have been drawn to go and see, like Dylan and Springsteen, happened just before I came to Ireland.
Oh, for heaven's sake, right. And you didn't have a chance. Did you ever see either of them elsewhere? Did you ever get to see them?
Oh, yes, of course.
Of course
oh,
I did, of course.
Many
did.
Times, yeah.
Very hard not to, very hard not to.
Yeah.
Bruce, forever, and still.
Yeah. I was at four of Bob Dylan's Earl's Court shows in 1978, yeah. I was in the front row for the first show.
Go away.
Yeah.
My memory is that they were really difficult to get tickets for.
Well, we had to queue up, me and my mate queued up overnight at Glasgow Apollo.
Good Lord.
Where they released a certain number of tickets.
Yeah.
That's how they did it. They released tickets throughout the UK one morning and at all these venues, Newcastle and so on.
Yeah.
People queued up overnight. There's a couple of thousand people queuing up overnight.
Isn't it incredible? And of course, we now, because everybody's on their computers and da-da-da-da-da,
yeah.
We sometimes forget how it was.
Yeah.
That was a different world completely. Mm. But that must have been quite... Four times. And were you all... Was Dylan a big deal always?
Oh, since I was about 12 years old.
Oh, well,
huge.
Yeah.
I really learned how to sing and rhyme from listening to Dylan.
Yeah.
And how to break rules.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet him?
Yes, and a few times.
Yeah, was he
very, very humorous chap?
So I believe.
Yeah.
Which astounds me because
he was very shy as well.
Yes.
First time I met him, it was in a recording studio situation, and while the music was playing, when the band was playing, of course he was playing too. He wasn't singing; he was just playing electric guitar. But when the band would stop, he would keep playing.
Right.
It was to cover his shyness. And
to
give him a role to play.
Yeah, because people say that he's not that chatty, but I'm sure when he's comfortable in your company, he must be. Of course, he is.
The second time I met him was in a very relaxed situation. He was very chatty and funny and friendly. And
isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
But it's funny, people get an impression of somebody and it's not always accurate at all.
No.
And of course, trying to get to meet someone like that would be pretty difficult for most of us. While we were coming to the end of Kansas with Steve Earle, I was saying to you about Michelle, which is one of the most wonderful pieces of music on the album.
Mm.
Talk to me about Michelle, Always Stay. It's
We did an instrumental for each of Dennis's five wives, and Michelle was his second wife. She was Michelle Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas.
Yes.
And she was one of the great beauties of the age.
She surely was.
And you know, she and Dennis were married for 8 days.
Yes, and Dennis, the commitment.
Yeah, Dennis used to say, well, the first seven were pretty good. Now, I don't know what went wrong on the eighth day, but that was the end of it.
Yeah.
But I wanted an instrumental for Michelle. And again, James Halliwell, who did the strings on Andy, he wrote the music.
Right.
It was a piano instrumental that he'd had knocking around for a while. And when he sent it to me, I thought, this sounds like it should be Michelle's music.
Yes.
And I think I wrote the middle bit, the slightly different bit.
Yeah.
But most of the melodies are James's. Beautiful work.
It is beautiful.
Yes.
Being married five times suggests a very Kind of disjointed life, isn't it, in many ways, when you think about it.
For Dennis?
Yeah.
Probably so, yes. Yeah. Well, his last marriage was much longer.
Yes.
So it was more steady.
This is Michelle. Always stay. Michelle, always stay. And talking about the Waterboys, and we were just chatting about how you can do these things live when you do, and they will, on the 10th of July. Mike Scott was with me. That was just lovely. Will you stay for a couple of minutes?
Yeah.
Just finish that out. I've got a rent to pay. Rent to...
Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. The lifetime lending experts.
It's 252 time at Hyundai. Discover the all-new Inster 2025 World Electric Vehicle under the Santa Fe Women's World Car of the Year 2025. Explore the new Ioniq 5 and discover why Ireland loves the best-selling Tucson and award-winning Kona. It's 252 time at Hyundai.
View the full Hyundai 252 range at Fairview Motors, Fairview, Dublin 3.
The Gate Theatre presents Martin McDonagh's electrifying The Pillow Man. From the Oscar-winning writer of The Banshees of Inisherin and The Beauty Queen of Lenan, this wickedly black comedy sees two detectives question a writer whose stories resemble recent murders. Can they solve the mystery of who is The Pillow Man? Directed by Lindsay Turner, The Pillow Man runs at the Gate from July 4th for a strictly limited time. Tickets from £26.50. Book now from The Gate Theatre, supported by the Arts Council.
RTE.
Supporting the arts.
Marty in the Morning, weekdays on RTE Lyric FM, where life sounds better.
Mike, before I let you go, because we're coming to the end, obviously, quick one for you. 10th of July, Live at the Marquee in Cork. Is this the only gig left in Ireland? Or will
we have two others. We've got Wexford and Limerick,
When are they?
1st and 19th of August, I remember rightly. We're doing the Breakwater Festival in Wexford.
Yes.
And then we're doing the Docklands, whatever it is they put in Docklands, in Limerick.
Water Boys is what they put in. And then off to America.
Yeah, we have a few shows in Europe first, and then North America in September and October.
Yeah.
And then some continental Europe towards the end of the year.
It takes you out of your normal life, if you will, but then by the same token, that is your normal life.
Yeah.
It is what you do.
Yeah.
And you love it. You still love it.
Absolutely love it, yeah. This year will be an 80 show year. I'd like more.
You like more?
I'd like more. I like to be 100 a year.
Look at
80,
you.
80's all right.
That's all right. Well, you're like myself. You've youth on your side, so you can do
that's
it
next, right.
Next year you can do
I
it.
I get up in the morning and put on the cat suit of youth.
That's my boy.
If only.
Mike, thank you for joining us this
morning.
Thank
you, Marty.
God bless you. And good luck with this wonderful album. As I said, we had as Marty recommends recently. You're Live at the Marquee in Cork on the 10th of July. And all good health to you, sir.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us this morning. Take care.